You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Well, I will be taking a break from B and The Wire for a wee while. For as sad as I am about this, my absentee will be due to, well, long story short, a series of complicated events which led to me having a surgery, and it's related to my brain. It seems it's a little bit broken, and I will hopefully be getting it fixed, checked out all right, back to normal, well, whatever a normal brain is for me. And while this operation is separate from today's topic on The Wire, however, I will be touching on the subjects of TBIs and concussions. Traumatic brain injuries and concussions are a serious topic on which we know little about. Described as the final frontier of biological research, neuroscientists and researchers still have a lot to comprehend when it comes to significant injuries sustained on the cranium. So I got in touch with Kelly Jones, a leading researcher and senior lecturer at Auckland University of Technology. She specialises in the assessment of children and youth brain development. She spoke with me about the severity of these injuries.
So the World Health Organization defines traumatic brain injury as a brain injury resulting from mechanical energy to the head from an external force. In everyday terms, that's some sort of force to the head that then causes an injury to the brain. And sometimes it can be helpful for people to think of the brain as sitting in, it's sitting in fluid, so effectively floating, and then of course it's encased in this hard skull. So if we have a big force to the head, that can cause the brain to then, there can be stretching, there can be shearing, and there might be tearing of nerve tissue. So there's all sorts of different types of damage that can be sustained. Mm. And so globally we refer to all of those injuries as traumatic brain injuries. And then within that, there are different types of severity. So brain injuries are typically classified as mild, moderate or severe. And within the mild injuries, that's where we also include concussion. Mm-hmm. So concussion are at the milder end of the spectrum when we're talking about traumatic brain injuries.
Now, how can someone recognise through the common symptoms that they may have sustained a certain brain injury?
So we talked about that World Health Organization criteria, mm-hmm. but actually what does that look like in real life when you're on the side of a sports field?
Yeah.
Or you come across a traffic accident, someone falls off a horse or a bike, for example. So the sorts of signs that are typical is that the person may be dazed or confused. They might not remember what happened. Where am I? What happened? How did I end up on the ground here? They may feel nauseous. And particularly when we think about traumatic brain injuries in very young children, that's where it can be quite difficult to recognise, given we can't ask young children, do you remember what happened? So with young children, it may be that they're a bit out of character. Maybe they're not quite acting as they usually would. They may be very upset. Maybe it's difficult to comfort them more than it would usually be. Another symptom may be that they're off their food, for example. And I think a really important thing is that for people to be aware that one doesn't have to lose consciousness to have a traumatic brain injury. So that's sometimes a common misconception. People think, oh, well, I didn't black out, so I must be fine. That's not necessarily the case.
Now, in some of these severe cases, it's been recorded that traumatic brain injuries can have a resounding impact upon someone's cognitive and emotional health in the aftermath. So what are some of these cases that impact on the quality of life?
Quality of life is an area that health researchers like myself are paying more attention to these days. And certainly having a traumatic brain injury, whether it's at the mild end being a concussion or a more severe injury, can have a dramatic effect on someone's quality of life. So if we think about a severe traumatic brain injury, for example, you know, people affected talk about having to change the way that they view themselves. They may have interests that they can no longer take part in. Maybe they're unable to return to work. They might have quite a different role in the family at home. Their own identity, if you like, has to be revisited, and that can have tremendous impact on someone's quality of life.
And so what have been some of the adverse effects of traumatic brain injuries and concussions observed within young people and children when it comes to early stage developments?
Yeah, that's another interesting question. Mm. The original thinking was that perhaps young children who sustain a brain injury might actually recover better, if you like, than an adult, for example, because of greater neural plasticity, mm-hmm. and that perhaps they would recover better. But the thinking now is beginning to change, where perhaps it's actually that young children sustaining a brain injury might have their development slightly put on a different trajectory, if you like, which then as they age and they're expected to be able to do more complex cognitive activities, have more complex social relationships, they head off to school, the demands on them become greater. And the thinking now that is perhaps if children have a brain injury young, then maybe as they age and encounter these new challenges in life, that they may actually fare less well than someone older.
Mm.
So that's certainly an area that we've been doing a lot of research in, and actually we're working together with Professor Nicola Starkey at University of Waikato, mm-hmm. to look at children's recovery from concussion, mm-hmm. With a view to informing things like return to play and sport and return to learn at school.
Now, has there been a correlation within research between these serious concussions and TBIs with a negative impact upon someone's mental health? And may this also come into play with certain illnesses associated with these injuries, such as anxiety or depression?
Yep, so absolutely. So a colleague of ours, Professor Susan Barker-Kohler at University of Auckland, has done quite a lot of work, particularly looking at the mental health of adults after mild traumatic brain injury, mm-hmm. And she has found particularly higher rates of anxiety, up to nearly 30% of people in the large population-based study that we undertook in Hamilton and Waikato reported anxiety, compared to around 8% of people reporting depression.
Mm.
But the important thing there, the findings from that work, was that people who perhaps aren't experiencing anxiety or depression shortly after injury should have ongoing screening, and perhaps that's something that, for example, the family GP might keep an eye on, as it does seem that over time there can be higher risk for developing anxiety or depression problems.
I see. Another question that I have is that, so we know that in these severe cases, significant TBIs or concussions can have a resounding impact on someone's life. However, how about in minor cases when a certain injury sustained upon a patient hasn't been as significant, say, but can a series of these minor cases of similar knocks to the head lead to an impact which is very similar to a large injury down the line?
It's another really good question. So we refer to those multiple injuries as recurrent TBIs. So, what happens if someone has only one TBI?
Mm-hmm.
What happens if someone has two? What happens if someone has multiple? So, for example, as you might see in the context of some sports. So there's still a lot to learn about that.
Yes.
One thing that we have found from our research was that if people have more than one traumatic brain injury, it's often due to the same cause as the first traumatic brain injury.
Right.
So there's more attention being paid at the moment to exactly that, the relationship between early concussions or traumatic brain injury of some severity,
mm-hmm.
And neurological health, if you like, later in life, with some indications that there may be a relationship with long-term neurological disease such as dementia, Alzheimer's, etc. So to look at that and to research that well obviously requires long-term studies. Mm-hmm. There's certainly more work to be done.
Recently, it was announced that further funding and research is going towards medical imaging research and innovation within urology, a $6 million development. Waitaia in Tairawhiti Gibson has been made. Its core focus of the centre research will be on traumatic brain injury, concussions, as well as cardiovascular heart disease. Now, as Kelly said in the interview, TBIs and concussions can have a significant impact on mental health and well-being. I spoke with Steve Jenkins of Brain Injury New Zealand about the support that they provide.
We provide support, advocacy, information, education on brain injury for people with brain injury and often their families, carers and other people, and a bit more downstream from that for the general public around, you know, general information stuff. But our primary client, I suppose, are people who've had a brain injury themselves and more often than not their immediate family, partners and things like that. Our support services can be on a one-to-one basis, helping people negotiate meetings and things like that. When someone has a brain injury, that a whole range of things in their life hit a wall.
Well, I guess I'll just ask here, Steve, is that can you tell me a bit about, from these injuries, what effects will or does a concussion or a traumatic brain injury, what can it have an effect on a person's life?
Well, the biggest impact, I suppose, is it changes their life. Depending on the intensity or the place where the injury occurs and relative to the brain, you've probably heard of frontal lobe. That's the executive functioning. That's the helmsman of the life of the body, influences personality and things like that. And often because we're disposed to the world in a frontal way, you know, if we're in a fight or you're in a crash or you're falling or something, then you're likely to have an injury that involves your frontal lobe. But that is where executive functioning, as I say, where people, it's the seat of judgment, where people make decisions and things like that. So that's impeded for a start if somebody's had particularly a moderate to severe brain injury. Mm. So you can imagine a lot of decision making and stuff like that is difficult. And that feeds on into relationships, of course.
Yes.
And so it impacts, for every person who has a brain injury, there's about at least five other people who are intimately and socially connected to that person who are going to be affected by it. So there's that kind of ripples in the pool sort of thing.
Now, for someone experiencing some troubled times in the wake of a brain injury or a concussion, what would be your best advice to them when seeking rehabilitation?
If they've had some formal rehab with ACC under a claim or a recognised accident, probably go back to your case manager and see if you can get further increments of psychological or occupational therapy or whatever was useful. However, if you're kind of mature in your injury and you're no longer on their books or so, you're very welcome to bring up the Brain Injury Association. We have facilitate support groups here, you know, once a month meeting or once a fortnight, some of them. We have a singing group, we have some art, we have other things, we're looking to develop more things. So we're coming in downstream, we're not offering clinical services. In fact, there aren't few clinical services you can offer after the acute stage anyway. It's really just about adaption to a new life.
Yes.
And where that's where we fit in. And we have facilitated groups where people can explore things, make friends, meet new people. And the big thing is they can get a great sense of relief from realizing that it's not just me, I'm not crazy, I'm not stupid. There's a whole bunch of people here experiencing that same sort of stuff. And like any burden that's shared, it becomes diminished and gives people a lot of social confidence that someone with an acute mental health situation have got. So I kind of make that distinction for people to realize that brain injury is a mechanical or physiological blow to the brain in some way, and it doesn't affect the essential self. But the essential self has got to learn to live through, a fractured kind of prism of the life.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.